We want to welcome everybody out tonight to our city council meeting. Appreciate all of you being here. We want to begin with an invocation and pledge of allegiance, and Patty is going to lead us with that.
Thank you for being here this evening. As this is my last invocation as a city council member, I want to be a little reflective. City government was never stagnant, even when it appears to move slowly. These last 8 years are proof of that. Perhaps patience and persistence should be in our city motto. The majority of decisions that the city staff, planning commission, and the council make will impact Laverkan well into the future. There will be new challenges coming our way, which we are not even aware of at this point. At this meeting tonight, we will select a new council member for a two-year seat. In January, we swear in two new council members. My hope is that they embrace the responsibility of office, but also know that they are not alone. There is a wealth of knowledge in our city staff, planning commission, and the other council members, and definitely in our fellow citizens who have sat in these same seats over the years. Laverkan is truly a special city, and if all of us keep our ears toward reason, apply ourselves to understand complex issues, vote with conviction, we will continue to serve our fellow citizens as they deserve. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Patty. First item tonight will be a report from the Hurricane Valley Fire Department.
I just have a really short presentation.
We like short.
Good. So we had a total of 98 calls in the city of Laverkan. All of them were either medical or other hazards. We did not have any fires in the area. So we do anticipate possibly having structure fires from people turning on the heaters and stoves and stuff like that, chimney fires and so forth. But we had an unusually warm November. So. We also had a fire board meeting on Monday. We discussed the budget, attended the budget. Councilman Gugler asked me last time about the budget. I didn't have the number for him. I do have it this time. So the finalized budget for 2025 was $11,375,897 was our budget. We talked about the tentative budget for 2026. I don't have those numbers because it's going to change. So that's pretty much all I have to report on. If he has some questions for me.
Any questions for him? No question? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Next item is to presentation of the coins. We have three council members that this will be their last meeting. I don't think we're having another one in December. So I'd like to present to Dick Hershey. He served served as mayor and council for how long?
Too long.
For way too long. And here's a coin for you. We appreciate your service and all that you've done for the city of Laverkan. Next we have Patty, who has served for 2 terms, 8 years, and definitely appreciate all of the time that you put in behalf of the citizens here. And Blair, as well, this is a 4-year term that you've served. Appreciate everything that you've done. Are these real silver?
Yes.
You're silver. Wow, that's pretty nice.
I was asking for gold.
We're running out of budget, saving that for me.
A bronze winner. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
We'd like to have all three of you come up and stand. Right, Dick, you stay in your chair, and we're going to take your picture. and put it on the wall and throw
darts at it. Well, can get on your side of it. Scoop this way, get the hair that way.
Mike is envious.
3, 2, 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Okay. All of these have put in a lot of hours. In your behalf, and been great servants for the city of Woodwork, and I appreciate all the work that they have all done. Okay, the next item on the agenda is interviews for the council vacancy. We have four that have put their names in to take Dick's place. It'll be a 2-year term. We would like to give each one of you 3 minutes to come up, and I know each of you have a list of things that questions that you can maybe address after you're done with your 3 minutes. If the council has any questions to answer to ask you, then we'll let them ask those questions. Kendall Weatherstone. I'd like to take you go first, and then we'll have Christian Harrison and Chester Ince, and then Scott.
Okay.
Come right up here to the podium if you would.
Are we going to be, you want me to time it there, or you get?
Yeah, you be the timer. 3 minutes.
Oh, I don't need the timer. Very well. Hello, my name is Kendall Weatherstone. I'm 33 years old. I've lived in Birken in southern Utah since I was 12. I graduated from Pine View High School with honors, and this community has been my home for more than 2 decades. I am a general contractor and a longtime handyman. I want to serve on the city council because I'm genuinely interested in Birken and want to help improve the quality of life for the people who live here. My background in construction and infrastructure gives me practical insight into the issues the city faces. Budgets, roads, facilities, planning, and maintenance. I'm not here for politics. I'm here to solve problems, use taxpayer dollars responsibly, and strengthen communication so residents feel heard. One of the biggest challenges in Laverkin faces is long-term water sustainability as we grow. We live in a drought-prone region. An increased demand puts pressure on both our water supply and land stability in sensitive areas like the bench. The best way to address this is with a proactive approach, stronger water conservation standards, drought-resistant landscaping, careful land use decisions based on geological risk, and clear communication with residents. I believe the strongest councils are collaborative. I listen first, contribute constructively, and support staff with clear direction while respecting their expertise. When the council, mayor, and staff operate as one team with a shared mission, the entire community benefits. A council member must communicate openly and respectfully with the public, being transparent, sharing accurate information, and taking input seriously. My goal is to build trust and make sure residents truly have a voice in their local government. I'm fully committed to the time and work this position requires. This isn't entitled to me. It's a responsibility, and I'm ready to do the work. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Any questions from the council?
Patty, you want to go first?
I might add, too, Mayor, any questions should be directed to all the candidates so that they're not specific to one candidate.
Should we wait till the end for questions?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll wait till the end. Okay? Question?
Just a heads up, I'll say 15 seconds when you're...
I appreciate that. Hi, my name is Christian Harrison. I'm grateful to be able to be considered for the vacancy that Richard leaving behind for us. I grew up here in Laverkin. I've lived here since I was in kindergarten, and I'm grateful to be able to have the opportunity to raise my children here. And I want to serve on the city council, be able to give some of that time back. I had a wonderful childhood growing up. I love this city. I love being here. I want to be able to give back to the community in my service and be able to contribute. From what I see, as I've learned about this city and about what's been going on, the most important issue would be the fact that we need to make sure that when we're growing and building, we're doing so responsibly. We are very limited on space, bound on every side by cities and rivers. We don't have much places to extra we can go and grab to grow. So the growth of the building we do needs to be focused and responsible. And I believe that the best way we do that is by communicating with the public, by talking to people to make sure that any decision we make is not a decision of one or two council members, but a decision of a community, that we can all grow and steer the city the way we like and the way that we want it to be. I believe that we all have different opinions, but a common ground. We all love the city. We all want what's best for our families, our neighbors, and our community. And I believe working from that common ground can resolve differences and disputes by communicating openly with each other. I know that I'd be a new member on the council, and I don't know everything. And I know, and I'm grateful that I would have the opportunity to rely on other council members, city staff, city manager, the mayor, to help fill in those gaps of knowledge that I don't have. I'm working through my working life, I've learned that it's important to learn, listen, and then contribute. And that's what I would hope to be able to do on the city council. I do stand ready to commit myself the time that it takes to learn about the issues, to understand what's being passed before us. Those legal documents can be dense, but I am willing to put the time in to read through them and understand them. I'm grateful to have a loving wife behind me who supports me to give the time that I need to for this position to be able to serve properly. Thank you.
My name is Chester Hens. I married Stormy Stratton. I don't know if some of you guys know who that is. And I'm raising sixth generation Laverkin kids in Laverkin. I think that's pretty cool. I remember the first time I went on a date with my wife. 13 years ago, we came across a bridge in Laverkin in the middle of the winter, and you guys know the smell that I'm talking about. You smell when you come across the bridge in the middle of the winter time. And I'll always remember, I was like, hey, what's going on, you know? But after the third date, I figured it out. It was the hot pots. But I run an excavation company. We have over 20 employees now. And with my experience, I'm a general contractor. I was a journeyman lineman for Dixie Power for over 8 years. I worked in North Dakota and Nebraska building power lines, and I was a residential electrician as well. Now I run a crew of 20 guys. We have a couple big projects going on, $100 million project of our own that we're doing, and I run the day-to-day operations of bidding and running guys. I know what it takes to, you know, build infrastructure and that side of things, and I also understand that the city's you know, they only have so much area, and we got to be conscious with that. And I want to make sure that everything is zoned right, and that we can capitalize on and make the city the best money and do the best things for the residents that live in Laverkin. I want to keep it, you know, I love, like, the trail systems that we've done. I love the parks that we have in there, and I want to keep that stuff coming. But we also need good growth that's going to make money for the city at the same time. So I know there's two sides to every story, and as me, I'm going to always vote with my heart. I'm going to do it. I think a lot of us are like-minded anyways, so we'll probably vote together. But I am going to vote with my gut and do what I think is personally right. But that's all I got.
Good evening. My name is Scott Peckel. I'm a long-time resident of Washington County. I grew up a block south of the high school. My mom and dad raised us here, and this is what I call home here in Washington County. husband of Amanda here and a father of five children. All of our kids are raised and grown, and we now have grandkids. And it's a time of life now where I've always felt like I'd be interested in city government and being able to have a chance to be able to add something. And I'm at a time in life where I feel like I have the time and a little bit of something to be able to give to the community. Along those lines, what I do professionally is I'm an area manager for a large construction company. Our company in total is a 700 employee company that works from Oregon to St. George, basically. And I run about 120 guys out of the St. George area. We build all kinds of infrastructure, including a lot of stuff for water conservancy districts and airports and roadways and all that stuff. I've been in that kind of business for my entire career, and it's something that I really enjoy. Something that I feel like are really some of the bigger challenges for the city of Leverkusen is being able to manage our growth responsibly, as several of the other candidates have been able to describe. I believe that there's a strain coming to our roads and infrastructure and public safety. I think that being able to address these issues and be able to understand what they are and to be able to speak to them effectively and be able to vote and be able to give a good vision, like what Patty mentioned, to being able to have a good vision about what's going on and be able to vote accordingly is important to me. Strengths that I feel like that I'd be able to bring to the council. A few things are my understanding of construction and infrastructure. Part of the job that I have currently for my day-to-day operations is to be able to solve problems. If you can imagine, everything doesn't run smoothly in a construction company every day. I'm asked to be able to approach those issues, be able to find a creative way, to be able to address folks, to be able to meet with people and to be able to come up with creative solutions in a good, timely, cost-effective manner. I believe that translates into what we do here in the city. I believe in being financially responsible. Again, it's one of the tasks that I'm tasked with on a daily basis is being able to make sure that I understand budgets and be able to make sure that we stay on task and be able to stay within the financial restraints that we have. Again, I believe those things probably translate into what we're doing here. I sure do appreciate the chance to be able to be here and look forward to your consideration for me being on the council tonight. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Any questions now from council? Blair, do you have any? Okay.
Not right at the minute. I'll wait for Dylan. He has something.
Dick, do you have any questions? Micah?
If we ask one, it's asked to all of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speak into the mic if you would.
Go ahead. I would just like to know what our top priorities are for city council. 4 years.
I'd say it's growth.
Everybody else can have up or something.
Each take a turn at the mic. And maybe you could all just kind of sit right there by the mic so you could just stand up.
I would definitely say it's growth in the Virgin. We have property to grow and come back up with water. Apparently, it's something over in the desert. So, growth and water, I would prefer the top priorities.
Public safety and infrastructure are big priorities, I believe, making sure that we protect our way of life, that we make affordable housing for the folks that live here in Leverkusen, and we also protect the property values that we have here. Those are top priorities too.
I think my top priority would be looking at zoning opportunities to see what we can do the most with our lands in terms of mixed use and other kinds of zoning to make sure that we can do the most good for the most amount of land we have.
I think that the rest of them kind of hit the nail on the head. Infrastructure, roads, the safety, whatnot. Once again, water is probably one of the largest issues that we have here in this area. So,
any other questions? Micah, do you have any other questions? Okay.
I'd like to know from all of you how you see recreation trails playing into your growth vision? How important is it to you? And how would you implement that?
I think that's where we live, and that's what we do. I think we're a little Zion just waiting to pop off, right? There's a lot of growth here that's going to happen, and we need those recreational trails. We enjoy them for our family, but for growth and for people coming to Southern Utah and enjoying it, I think Liberica needs to have more trails for sure.
I echo those sentiments. I think that our trail systems, our parks and recreation space, in somewhat define the community and give us a chance to be able to see parts of the community that we may not be able to experience. I'm thinking of trails that kind of run alongside river, you know, like river walks and things like that. I believe that being able to seek out grant money and being able to have financial funding to be able to make sure that we have those kind of opportunities is really a key priority.
For me, the trails and the kind of veins that connect the community, and I would love to see those be integrated into more walkable options for the city, things that connect people via those trails, whether they're big, long trails of the whole Washington County community or trails that connect different parts of Laverkin, just so people can walk and communicate, commute, and be in place without having to drive, park, and then drive to another place.
To be honest, it's something I hadn't really thought of too much. Obviously, we'd like to keep them clean and usable for future residents and for our children and whatnot. So that should probably be something to be thought about for sure, is maybe having a group effort and maybe a yearly thing, keeping them clean, you know, groups going out and thinking about this as we go. So.
Any other questions?
I have one more. Everything else, I love trails as well, but one of my priorities is sidewalks and roads. I like taking my life into my hands on some of our narrow streets. What do you think we could do to improve our sidewalks and roads?
I think one of the biggest improvements would be to get a complete sidewalk network to work with those areas where we don't have sidewalks. I know there's property laws and things that need to be respected, and residents' rights that need to be respected, but to work with those residents so that we can, in any stretch of town, walk from one end of the street to down to another, to the other, with a complete sidewalk, not having to dip into the road and then back onto another sidewalk. So I think completing that infrastructure would be a first priority.
I've been a road contractor. Basically, that's been my career since I was 21. So, again, roads, sidewalks, curb and gutter, those are important elements of a roadway and public safety to me. There's one of the things that I see when I'm in that perspective is being able to make sure that we have good, clean standards in our standard specifications for the city, and making sure that that all of the sidewalks and curb and gutter are built to that standard, and that it's a uniform approach to be able to make sure that we have that same kind and style of sidewalk and curb put in, not just because it's nice and clean that helps us maintain our slip obligations, but also the ADA compliance issues that come along with it. So I appreciate you bringing that up there, because I think it's a big importance for us to be able to get that in the city across the entire city network.
Yeah, I would agree with them. I don't like our roads either. When I go to my house, I feel like I break my back. But I do drive a Ford, so they're built up. But I agree with them. I think it's a huge safety thing that we need to work out. Apparently, there's a lot that goes into just starting to throw up sidewalks and roads. There's a lot of money that has to be raised for that. So we need to look into grants and things to help us out as a city, and we need to also look into ways that we can change our zoning to make the city more money, to bring in revenue so that we can start tackling those projects. So I think there's a lot of things that need to go into that, but yeah.
would say better lights, better signs. We definitely need more of those. I know specifically the crosswalk that's next to the church, next to the coffee shop. We definitely have a problem over there because I can't tell you how many customers have told me that they almost got hit on that road because those lights, they just don't work. You know, drivers come flying through there. You know, it doesn't matter what time of day there is. Also, the right turn, you know, going up the hill right there next to Maverick. Coming around that curve, you know, if there's pedestrians coming across the street, there's, you know, most drivers aren't looking. You know, they're just not paying attention. And so I think that that needs to be addressed a little bit closer.
I've got one. Go ahead. And you don't have to go into length of this, but just curious if any, just your thoughts on what the city could do to help with affordable housing.
I think from a city's perspective, the best thing we can do is in our zoning laws to make sure that we are zoning in a way to help increase the supply of housing. From my point of view, one of the few ways you can affect the pricing is to increase the amount of supply to help make things affordable, to watch what kind of homes we're building. If we build $1 million mansions, they'll be priced at $1 million. If we have smaller lots and smaller, closer communities, we might be able to have them be a bit more affordable for our residents.
So I'm gonna be fairly specific with that answer, Micah. Is one thing that I believe that we could do is be able to take a serious look with house setbacks and the proximity of houses in certain zones with each other. As I've worked in other parts of the county, I've seen successful communities that have been built with shorter setbacks and closer proximity to homes. I don't believe that that's something that we'd want to do across the entire community, but I do believe that one of the solutions that we have for affordable housing is making land affordable for our builders to be able to build something as a product that would help them be able to get to that point. That's one that really stands out to me as something that we could look at as a city to be able to give some concessions there to be able to help this affordable housing need that we have.
I think a great one is you know, density bonuses. Like if people go in and build trails, we give them a bonus and they can bring in more dense home, right? We can make a lot smaller. We can still have the trails, nice parks, things like that. Have the contractors up front that money. We can build a big, nice park, build a little bit smaller community. And like you said, we can bring in the houses a little bit. That's going to be known if you're building a little bit smaller lots for density, and that will help people be able to afford it. So I'm not saying that we need to go just start throwing up townhomes everywhere or apartments. I don't know about that, but we can definitely find the places for it within the zoning of the city, or we can rezone things to help us. So.
So as a millennial, this does kind of touch right at the heart for me. I would say that probably one of the big things is keeping businesses out of residential homes. And more specifically, like commercial entities buying up properties and then renting them out or turning into like Airbnbs, for instance, because we already have a multitude of hotels and motels around the area. And so as much as I like Airbnb, you know, for traveling and whatnot, we probably should not have it here because they just drive the price up.
Okay, there's no other questions. Faye, turn the time to you and you kind of explain how this is going to work.
Okay, thanks. Now that the interview of the candidates has been completed, we'll proceed to voting. The way we're going to vote is we're going to pass out ballots with each candidate's name on the ballot. Each council member will cast their ballot and then put at the bottom of the ballot their initials, so we know who's voting for whom. We'll collect that in the hat or however you want to collect it, and then Nancy will tabulate those results and let us know.
But
take our names on it.
But initial it just so.
Oh, in it?
You,
to show that we got
that. I didn't vote. You voted.
Yes.
The statute, the state statute specifically allows Councilman Hershey, who's the council member who resigned creating this vacancy, statute specifically allows him to cast a vote. So the first candidate to receive three votes will be the successful candidate. If we don't have three votes after the first round of voting, then we'll proceed to a second round of voting. And if we have to break any ties to get to the second round, then we'll do that by coin toss. Actually, if we do that, we'll do a coin toss. And then, finally, if there is a tie after the second round of voting, because the city of Oregon is a six-member council mayor form of government, the mayor is specifically authorized by state statute to cast a tie-breaking vote. So if we get that far and we have a tie-breaking vote, the mayor will be able to do that. But again, after the first round, if we have someone with three votes, that'll end it right there. So that's kind of how we should
fold it and get it to Nancy. Well, whenever I get it. She's counting the votes. We again want to thank each one of you that have put your name in the hat. I appreciate your willingness to serve our community, and it's in reality can turn into be a lot of work. So, and sometimes you have to take the heat. So, I hope all of you, whoever is successful, will be willing to do that. So.
We have three votes for Scott Pechtel and two for Christian Harrison.
Okay. Scott, Nancy will swear you in, and you'll take Dick's place up here.
All right. Take my seat.
Yeah.
Well, when you get a gun?
I think it should be pointed out that these are very good candidates, all of them, any of them.
Scott?
I think you'll have to come up front here.
All right.
Thanks again for those of you that put your name in. I appreciate your willingness to serve, and
Congratulations, Scott. So.
Thanks.
Now we will. The next item is the consent agenda. This can be a single vote unless there's any discussion on the consent agenda. But entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda, including the declarations of conflict of interest, the agenda, meeting minutes of November 5th, work and regular meeting of November 12th, and the November 12th special meeting, checks and invoices in the amount of $116,344.65.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Okay. Blair?
Yes.
Betty?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve Resolution 2025-17. Appointed the Chief Administrative Officer and Records Officer for the Government Data Privacy Act. Who wants to take that, Kyle? Okay.
Mayor, this is just something that we've talked about this in the past, about the new regulations that the state has put out about the GDPA, Government Data Privacy Act. There are several things that we needed to do to comply, and we had to do it before the end of the year. One was adopt the data privacy policy, which we've done. I don't know if you've seen that. It's on the bottom of our website now, which is one of the requirements. The other requirement is we had training, and it was myself, Nancy, Christy, and Mason McMahon that had to have a training. We watched a 10 or 15 minute video that is required for us to do on a yearly basis. And that's for people that will be in a position that will be taking in information or collecting information that's considered private. And the other thing is to adopt this resolution that appoints a chief administrative officer. The very small towns, it's usually the mayor. Most towns that have a city administrator, city manager, it's the city manager. And then there's the two, what's your title? Nancy, collections officer or
records officer,
and then under their direction, they'll make sure that we get trained and do this on a yearly basis. And one other thing that we haven't done yet, there is a form that we have to fill out. Eventually, I'm sure there'll be something in the state or some entity that we will file this form with. Right now we fill out the form and we don't do anything with it. We just have to have it filled out. And between now and the end of the year, me and the two records officers will sit down and fill that form out.
Okay.
Now, this just gets us all in line with the state code that has to be done by the end of the year.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
Mr. Chair, just a comment. The resolution itself refers to a particular code session. I don't know what I was doing, but that's not the right code session. So whatever we do here this evening, we should make approval subject to correction of that site to the proper code session.
Okay. Questions? What?
Where do we file those secure records year to year? Well,
they're
involved
at the city, yeah.
Okay.
And then it's anything that we collect online, or not online, people's account numbers, names, addresses, all that kind of stuff, social security numbers if it's required, all that stuff is secured, and our accounting software also does that, and we have our IT people that make sure that we're what they call red flag compliant. Nothing is 100%, but I think that's been evident throughout the world. There can be breaches, but what our policy states that we'll take every precaution that we can to keep that information secure, and if
by any means something happens and we have a procedure that we notify people that have been breached.
Patty, you have any questions?
Faith, do you know the correct code number? Or
yes, I do. It's Title 63G-2-Part 15.
Okay. 63G-2-Part 15.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's all I have.
You have any questions?
Nope.
Micah?
No.
Darren?
No.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve Resolution 2025-17.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve resolution number 2025-17, subject to the correction of the code reflecting 63-G-2-Part 15 is the correct code, appointing a chief administrative office and records officer for the Government Data Privacy Act.
Do we have a second?
Yep.
We have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Darren, Micah?
Yes. Yes.
Ben. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve Ordinance 2025-07, a work live zone. This was what we discussed in our work meeting 2 weeks ago. Any discussion on this tonight? Darren, any discussion?
Let me pass until I hear you.
Micah, yep.
It's written how we discussed 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
This ordinance has been a really, really long time coming. Almost didn't happen. But I think operating between Faye, our attorney, and Derek and Brad, our zoning people. Study, study, study. Check it out, change it. Check it out again. And then with Laura Gardner, the owner, being very willing to work with the city, it went from an almost not happening to, in my view, should happen. It will be the only one of this type in the city. And so there's probably a lot of pressure and eyes on there, which can be very good to business. Scott will find this out very quickly. There's no one perfect solution. You're always trying to figure out the best of what something can be. And sometimes you do, in essence, take a chance. In my view, be proactive instead of reactive and then move forward. So I'm glad to see this come the way it has tonight with all the many changes. Thank you, Derek and Brett. And Faye.
Yes, I'll second that.
Okay. So that was a little long.
I know.
You have no other comments then?
I have no comments.
Okay. Back again. Micah, did you say?
I think it was Darren.
I love the idea of work live. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion and a tough choice. I think for this this particular ordinance, it is the best situation where we did not, weren't involved with this project from the start. So, but for what it is, I think this is the best way to go.
Any other comment or discussion? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-07, Work Live Zone.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve the Ordinance 2025-07, Work Live Zone.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve the Utah Law Enforcement Information Sharing Analytic Program.
program agreement between the Utah Department of Public Safety and the Washington County Spillman Users. Chief, tell us what we're doing here.
So Spillman is our secure operating system. Every agency down here uses Spillman. So the chiefs and sheriff got together, and we just thought it would be easier that when we allow the data to go up to the state, when they ask for it, that we're all using the same X's. Jeez, man, you scared me. We're all using the same X's and O's, so that they have all the same data that comes across. And when we do provide them the data that they ask for, we can do it with relative ease instead of, like, for example, Laverkan City having a separate code for, let's say, a traffic accident, and then St. George City has a separate code for that same traffic accident. We're all communicating on the same spectrum, so it just makes it easier to give them the data.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the council? Karen, Micah? Mm-hmm. Scott?
Nope.
Patty?
No.
Larry? I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion that we approve the Utah Department of Public Safety and Washington County Spillman Users.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Claire?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve Chief Nucitelli's truck lease. Do you want to explain what you're doing here, Chief? Or do you want Derek to explain for you?
I will defer those comments to Derek. And Derek's the one that helps me do it, that has all the information for the lease. I'm just the tag along for that same cost saving measure.
It is a bicycle, isn't it?
Three-wheeler. Through a bicycle.
Electric.
With the battery.
So basically, this is similar to the one that you passed for me last time. So we get it from a group that is allowed, or it qualifies to get the discount rate from the state on the vehicles, which dramatically drops the price of the truck. And in order for them to stay with that kind of contract, they lease those out mainly a lot, not to just cities, but to mainly a lot of cities. And hopefully the miles come back low, and then when we trade them back in, they're able to get the reset light out of them, which makes them get the money out that they've invested into it. They deal with the higher-end trucks. That's why we have the higher-end trucks, because that's where they get their money back out of it. This company that we deal with now basically gives us a two-rate system. So basically, depending on if you stay within your miles that you're allotted for under your miles, you get a certain amount of money. Like for mine, we're getting a $10,000 rebate back, which can help go towards one of the payments of the truck. The other one is because we just paid for our third year, starting our third year lease, we will get a fairly large percentage back on that can go towards the other, or towards the new trucks. Because the new trucks now are about 3 to 4 months out. So basically, the hope is that we have the ability to at least 1, 2, or 3 years. Preferably, they like to stay within the 2 year because the miles seem to stay lower. But if the money that we get back from those two items basically would pay for 1 year's lease. And so then you take the other 2 years divided by the three, that's where the cost savings comes in. So like, you know, something that might be in the range of $13,000-$14,000 a year for a lease actually will come back down to like a $7,000 a year lease, which makes it worthwhile. Plus, the warranties stay covered on them, which is a positive thing. So basically, what we did with Chief is we hadn't defined the miles very well, Chief, and so he's now got the correct miles that we applied for on this one going forward. He will get a rebate back on the third year payment that we just paid out on it. So it's a really good program. I think the city does well. It saves money by the time they pay for maintenance and repairs. It's kind of a win-win thing at this point. So the paperwork is basically reflects we have the option to do it as monthly or annually. Monthly is kind of good because if you sell the truck earlier or get out of the lease, then you won't get into the situation we're in now where we've already paid for the third-year lease. Going forward, annually, we can pick either one. I think right now we've talked about what annually or monthly. I can't remember how that's about.
I think we did annually.
Annually. So. But yeah. Kind of this bill.
And the truck is a 2026 Ford F-150 Lariat four-wheel drive Super Crew.
Yeah.
15 miles per year. And
15,000.
It's what?
15. I'll be on that bike a lot sooner than you expect.
15,000 miles a day. All right, we'll put that. And then the monthly payment is $1,275 per month, or the annual payment is $14,816 per year. This is the three-year lease, and you plan on turning it in after two. Is that correct?
Yeah. Plus, that doesn't reflect the money coming back that they're going to give us for the part we've already paid for the third year on the trucks we have now. So that payment will change because they don't reflect it until they get the trucks back, and then they'll make all their adjustments.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
Chief, do you feel like you'll be able to stay within 15,000 miles a year with your current drive? I mean, just out of curiosity, how much do you feel like you drive a year?
So what I've done is I use my truck specifically because it's unmarked, and I let my officers take it to trainings, which are sometimes in Nevada, Salt Lake, and I was informed that that's not a good idea. The reason I did that was specifically because if you take a marked vehicle to, like, outside areas, usually they might become a target for criminals, which they have, out of their places where they break into the vehicles and take gear and things like that. So I don't know. It's a balance between miles and unmarked, and I know our city likes to have marked vehicles. Mine's the only one that has the bare minimum of stickers on it. So they'll be taking a marked vehicle when they go to training on their own. If that's what.
Well, do you have any? Would you have a gauge of how many miles you think the?
I think we're right around there. Like I'm at just under.
Okay.
And that's that. And I've been in the vehicle for 2 years and 3 months.
So you're right on pace for 15,000 a year at scrum pace.
I know the chief parks his truck sometimes and just walks around town, which saves miles. Good exercise.
Nice.
Okay. Any other questions? Mike and Darren? No.
just wanted the city manager's opinion. You agree with the lease?
Yeah. Well, that's what, and we'll have to reevaluate that. But that's been kind of one of the perks that we've given those two specifically is that they have a newer vehicle. The advantage, like Derek said, that these companies do, they've found a way to get around it because the government gets such a deep discount on the vehicle. If they show they lease it to us, once they get it back, they get it still with that discount, and then they obviously turn around and sell it, but they share that savings with the city.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. It might be something because leases have gone up in value and stuff. It might be something in 2 years that we want to reevaluate and stuff. But right now, I think it's a way to go.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve Chief Newt Utilities truck lease.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Last item on the agenda for business is discussion and possible action to approve the crossing guard hours. I'll turn that to you, Chief, again.
Okay. Was that a month ago or so? A month ago, we talked about what the crossing guards are doing and what's considered safer for the kids. And we're specifically talking about Center and State Street. So the PTO sent back an email. So they sent back some recommendations, and within the recommendations, they asked that the crossing guards move their time back 15 minutes. So instead of being out there at 8 o'clock, they'd be out there at 8:15, and they'd stay there until 9:15. And that was specific for just that intersection. The other crossing guards would still stay at their times that they're at, specifically at 500 North Main Street and then the one at Main Street and Center. And so talked to Principal Gabby Young, and she was on board with the recommendations and said we could start that. I had the conversation with Kyle to do that, and then we decided that in the first of the year, the crossing guard would change their schedule.
As we said, we just kind of wanted the time in the morning to be 8:15 to 9:15. I think for the afternoons they were hoping 3:15 to 4, and then Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday 11:45 to 12:30 on Friday.
Okay. All right. Mayor, we've adjusted the compensation up a little bit.
Okay.
Do we have any hot chocolate as part of that? Because I was out there about 8 this morning and it was cool.
Bring your coat.
We do a nice thing for our crossing guards. Yes, they'll have hot chocolate and something nice to take over the holidays. Yes.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the crossing guard hours.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve the change in the new crossing guard hours.
We have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Annie?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is mayor and council reports. The only thing I have is we need to set a date for the city council dinner. We do this once a year. And invite the city council and their spouses to go to dinner for all the work that they put in on behalf of the citizens of Leverkin. We also want to invite Blair and Patty and their spouses to come to this dinner, even though it might be it'll be in January, it's not in December. But so I just need to pick a date in January that would be good. And Dick too, you can come too. Yeah. You can bring her. That's the only way you're going to get there. So, what are your thoughts? What day of the week is best for everyone? Not on a city council night. So.
I was just going to say, Wednesday.
Not a good night.
Tuesday or Thursday is better for me.
Tuesday or Thursday, everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, we have the 8th of January, the 15th. 15th is probably not a good one. Well, could be. That's what's up down south. It's over in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's over.
15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. What's your preferences?
The 8th is better for me than the 15th.
You good with that?
Works for me.
Dick? Be available?
Sure. I'll go to Amanda and John.
John, Amanda? You're okay with the 8th?
So, what's good so far?
All right. We'll plan on the 8th. City Council dinner. I thought he said yes. He nodded
his
head. He nodded his head. I took that as a yes, so. Okay. Let's see.
Hey, Mayor, can I just interrupt real quick?
Hey, I just wanted to express my gratitude. I got to take off now, but I appreciate all your hard work, the trust, and the integrity of you guys. So it was really wonderful. Scott, you're in really good hands.
Thanks, Blair.
For your time and service. Derek, appreciate you guys.
Thanks. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Kyle.
Just a couple of things. If you haven't noticed, the bathroom at Wallace Park, the construction for the remodel is done, or not done, is started. We're hoping that sometime shortly after the first of the year, those will be completed. When I send out my report to you, I send out a little note of what happened up at the Division of Drinking Water. The mayor called on the carpet, and we got some better terms for the grant loan. And for the new council members, the three of you and the other three and the other two and the mayor, I'll be sending out an email with shirt sizes. We need to get shirt sizes. We'll get a few shirts. Sometime in January, we will have you all wear your shirts to city council. And after city council, we'll take a picture of everybody, maybe even before. And then we'll get some individual pictures so you guys can be... So people know who they're yelling at when they look on the Facebook or online. Anyway, that's all I have, Mayor.
Also, on the theater, 6 o'clock, is that good with everybody?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. John? Okay. And we'll do it at
Stagecoach.
That's okay with everybody. Okay.
I haven't had a meeting yet, but I do have one Monday with the Solid Waste District.
What are you going to tell me?
I want to make assignments for maybe that one. I would be glad to take them down and show them where they meet.
Okay.
It's every other month, so as I attend this one, which will be my last, they ought to be somebody to bring it to the council.
And it's next Wednesday?
It is next Monday.
Monday, okay.
At 5 o'clock.
Okay, all right.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Patty?
Can I go last?
You want to go last?
Yeah, I want to go last.
Okay, Patty wants to go last. Darren, you want to go second last?
No, I'll go now.
Okay.
So, I was able to attend the mosquito abatement meeting and it's kind of dying down, so we're safe for a few more months. So the abatement crew is doing really well, but as I said many times, this aegypti is a gnarly little bug, so it's going to be a pain in our sides moving forward. The other thing that I've been thinking a lot about is Confluence Park. The mayor has assigned me to kind of be the guru over the park, a representative for the city, and I just feel like there's so much opportunity down there. I would like to propose this next year, and we can talk about this in the budget, that we create a community committee that's focused on work, not just talking, and we start building that park into an amazing park. And so I'd like to bring that up next year, and there can just be so much down there. We were able to, with the help of Derek, get water down there, and if you've been down there recently, they planted some trees, and I'd like to plant hundreds of trees down there, and so that's going to kind of be my one of my main focuses next year.
You know that under the county's jurisdiction down there, so.
Well,
you're with the county, right?
Yeah, I'm okay. With the county, but I think it's La Verne has more to gain from Confluence than any community or county. So.
Agreed. I agree with you there.
Yeah. And I think we could probably ask the county for to be a big helper in making that awesome.
They come up with the funds.
Yep.
Micah.
As far as city activities and festivals, we're grateful for all the work that Mary and her crew have done. You can see
much of a hearing. A lot of it started weeks ago. And so that's going to, part of it culminate this weekend at Winterfest. So thank you to those who have signed up to help at the information booth. I'm thinking there's no wind, and the weather looks a little bit better for Friday and Saturday, so fingers crossed there. But So come out and support that. There's also Laverkan City Christmas Eve celebration that happens on Christmas Eve. Kyle, how many years running?
116, I believe.
116 years.
121.
It was held on a very limited basis the year of COVID to keep that running, but that will be at 6 p.m. here. There's a short festive program followed by a visitor from the North Pole for the little kids. I remember attending it as a young kid. You remember it, okay. Anyway, they're looking for a volunteer. My wife, for some reason, volunteered me to be a part of that festive program, and I told her no way. So we're looking for a fill-in for me to dance with my wife and sing, so if there's any volunteers. And then Wreaths Across America will be December 13th, for those who don't know what that is. That's a Saturday, 9 a.m. at the cemetery. There's a short patriotic program, and then we place wreaths on the gravesites of the veterans. So again, that's a week from this Saturday at 9 a.m. And then in January, the City Youth Council will be taking a trip up to the Capitol. So they're looking forward to that. Just want to thank Chief for working with the PTO and getting those hours adjusted and all of that, and thank the council for being supportive of that. And then just lastly wanted to publicly thank Blair and Patty. And Dick, we were fist pumping here. I was thanking him, but thank the three of you for all that you've done. It's been enjoyable. It's been a pleasure. It's too soon. I was supposed to leave before you two. So, but you'll be missed. And looking forward to working with the new council members. We're grateful for your desire to serve.
Scott, do you have anything to report?
I do not.
Okay. Okay, Patty, you get to be last.
Okay. Planning Commission, the last meeting, it was discussion only on mixed-use zoning. So, as council, we all get those minutes. I would strongly suggest that you start reading up on it, because I'm sure the council have work meetings regarding it, but there is a lot of information in there, and it'll be very important moving forward. I attended the DTEC meeting on November 18th. One thing of interest in our area, the Sheep Bridge Trail project, Sheep Bridge Road will be paved, I believe, by the end of 2026, and the Utah Trail Network has been giving out money for paved trails that offer active transportation, and there is going to be a paved trail along Sheep Bridge Road. And it was looking like it wouldn't happen. This is something the county's doing, but they were able to figure out a way to bring down the cost of three underpasses, and so they did get funding for that for the full design. So that's very exciting, came in under budget. Another thing, Derek and I met with the representative from five counties of government yesterday, I think it was, and went over Laverkan's active transportation plan. So right now it's design corridor trail, of course, and because that's a paved path, and then Main Street, potentially a bike lane, and then some arterial streets, bike lanes. So not separated bike lanes, and that our streets don't have the space for them, but at least a delineation for bike safety and then connection points. The Zion Corridor Trail, I showed a slideshow I think a month ago. That progress is going really well. There were some hiccups with our fiber optics company, but that's been resolved. And Derek is very close to an agreement on another section of the trail that parallels SR-17. So there is a very good chance that Laverkin will have our first three phases from Confluence Park up to SR-9, or at least to the point where it meets BLM land, finished within about a year or less. And that's primarily because it's on Interstate Rock property, and they have been such a great assist in getting all of that done. I attended a planning meeting for the Paw Tempe Trail. This is a trail that Laverkin, Hurricane, and the county received funding for. Darren's on that committee also. We received planning funding for it, and right now the trail is aligned to start at the bridge in Confluence Park. Well, actually, it'll start at the Hurricane Trailhead on Main Street, come down to the bridge. They'll stay on the Hurricane side of the river, cross over a few times as it goes under SR-9, and eventually come out at the sand traps that fall, if you know where that is, down in the river bottom, and climb up the hill there and connect with the SR, the Zion Corridor Trail on along SR-9 up on the mesa. So it's going to be epic. It'll probably be a while before it gets done, but the fact that we were able to get the money with no match, meaning Laverkin, Hurricane did not have to pay any money for it. We got an $80,000 grant to do the planning, the initial planning, right? Just initial planning. There's so much money in all this. But Laverkin is going, if all of the council keeps their eyes on trails, everything else will fall into place. So think trails first, and everything else will work. So that's that on that. But I do want to say thank you for my experience, my 8 years here. And I'll take just a minute, be as brief as I can. But when I had lived in Laverkin for a year, and before I was voted onto the city council, and about a month or so into moving here, I thought, and I was just stoked to be in Laverkin, moved from San Diego, and I thought, well, I want to see what Laverkin's about, and I saw a notice for a city council meeting, so I came, and I thought, wow, this is really good, but they don't pass out any information. Where do I find out more information? And then in the next city council meeting the following month, I found out there was a planning commission meeting, so I went to that. And about that time, I found out that there were actually two council meetings a month, and I was stoked. My husband was in, oh, here we go. And sure enough. So I was in the same position as our other two gentlemen left, but in the same position as Christian, and I ran in to fill a seat that was vacant, and it was really tough. However, it was very close to when you could put in your application for 4 years. And so I talked to Kyle, and he goes, sure, go for it. And so I did. I mean, like this person who's been here a year, just barely a year. But there were seven candidates, and by luck, everybody kept dropping out to where there were three, and I worked hard to win, and so I did win. And that's how I got started. And I'm bringing this up because there's somebody that I really want to thank about this, and it was Randy Reeve, a former council member, and I'm sure most of you know Randy. I don't know why he liked me. I think I disagreed on just about everything with him, and he just said, no, you need to run, and he made sure that I talked to a few people who could give me some insight in that, and I honestly think it was his support that kept me going, because I knew Randy Reed and I knew Kyle because I bugged Kyle so much. And then so I was elected, and Richard Hershey was mayor at the time, and for whatever reason Richard felt like I needed to learn different things, and so he made sure that I attended meetings that maybe other people were raising eyebrows like, why is she here? But he made sure I got to things so that I could learn, and he was just such a great mentor. So thank you very much, Richard. the other council member whom I served with on my first term, and Micah will very much agree with this, Ray Justice. What a great guy. And he and I didn't always agree, but he was the calmest person I've ever met discussing really critical issues. You know, and I'm getting excited, and he's just calm as can be. And he taught me so much, kind of critical thinking and that. So, new council members, reach out to your peers. It'll be really good. And then the camaraderie of the current mayor and the council, just, Micah, you've been great to work with. Darren, Scott, you'll enjoy it so much. John, Amanda, and Blair. I just agree a lot. I don't know why you sat us next to each other, Mayor. But anyway. And then I want to give a really special thanks to Kyle Gubler. Because, as I said, when I was trying to decide whether to run that very first time, Kyle didn't say, well, you don't have much of a chance. He just said, yeah, here's how you go about it. And all over these 8 years, I'd come in with all these ideas of things I'd want to do, and he'd just kind of raise his eyebrows and say, okay, you'll have to get the council to agree to that. I'm not sure it's in budget, but it was. He supported it. Every single thing. I don't think you've ever turned me down, Kyle, in trying to help me figure out a way.
I didn't dare.
I don't know about that. Christy Ballard. Man, hats off to Christy. She is one of the most amazing, competent people you could ever work with. And finally, Derek Emley. Man, Derek, you've been over backwards to make sure I understand things that I still don't understand. So thank you. Thank you so much. The field trips. You people, get Derek to take you on a field trip, just not on a muddy day, right? But anyway, so it's just been really, really a good time. I have benefited from being on City Council so much. Leverkin is, it truly is a special place. And I think it's special because we treat each other with respect. So that's my report.
Thank you, Patty. All right, Faye.
I just have one thing to kind of bring up. You'll recall several months ago we approved the sale of some a strip of property down there on 385 North to Mike and Miskin. So we went through the process of vacating that property as being something that a surplus property, basically. And he paid us the money, and when we gave him the deed to that property, when he went in and did it recorded, we discovered that property is not owned by the city. It's actually part of an old subdivision that was recorded back in 1962. And that property in front of his house and extends all the way down is part of Judy Avenue, it's called. It's a public street. So what that means is we can vacate a city street all right, but if we do, it goes back to the original. We don't have title to that property. We can't convey it. Since Mr. Vineski has given us a check for that money, we need to refund that. And again, we're able to convey that property to him.
Okay. Giving the money back.
Derek's got it. Derek's got the money.
I'll sit down with them and discuss.
Yeah, it's spent already, have you?
No. I'll go over.
I was going to say.
Yeah. I'll go to talk to Mike.
Okay, take Nick with you. All right. Last item on the agenda is citizen comment. Any of you would like to take 3 minutes and comment, make any comments to the city council that has not been on the agenda, you're welcome to do so. If not, we stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you, Scott. Are you here Saturday?
I think I am.
I'm assigned to
be here. I've got your email. We need to get together.
Yeah.